There was a service that happened here, Sunday service, in which a few people gathered favorite hymns of theirs and shared. It's the kind of the song that sings in them as much as they sing the song. A song of faith, song that is reminiscent of and an instrument of faith in their lives. I have asked three people to do exactly that, to find that song, find a scripture that also speaks in a similar way, and to share it with us. I'm going to leave it at that. And one of those people is Linda Hibbert.
Good morning. When Will asked me about this, I think he was maybe a little bit surprised how quickly I said, I know what I want to share, what song. The hymn I have chosen is Great is Thy Faithfulness. And I think for those of you who have been around for very long, you would know this song well also. This song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, comes mainly from the Book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 23 to 24. And these words were from Jeremiah, who was in deep mourning over the fall of his country. So this book, Lamentations, is lamenting or mourning. And in the midst of his mourning, this is some of what he wrote. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So how do these words relate to me? And why did I choose this hymn? I want to tell you a little bit of my family history, because this relates to my growing up years and my history. I was born in Peace River in northern Alberta, 300 miles north of Edmonton. I was the youngest of four children living on a farm in Nampa near Peace River. My father and his siblings and parents had come up to the Peace River country from Victoria in the late 20s. That was a time when the Peace was booming and full of promise. Land was free if you agreed to be a homesteader, having 3 years to clear the land and plant a crop. It was a time of great promise and, as you can imagine, extremely hard work. My father did joint farming and sawmill operating in that small community of Nampa. Later, here he and his brothers all married and settled into that same community where we were involved in the local United Church. We were making a decent, although very hard, life for ourselves. It was around this time, when my father was age 41, that he began to exhibit signs of depression and deteriorating mental health. This was in the late 1940s. There was limited recognition and support for these kinds of mental health issues. His depression became so severe that he chose to take his own life. It was a drastic loss, a tragic ending, and needless to say, a period of intense grief and loss for our family. My mother was left with four children, ages 2, 4, 6, and 8. How was she to cope? Excuse me if I'm a little emotional, even after all these years, but that's just the way it is. In the following months, we shifted from farm life into the nearby town of Peace River, living with her parents, my grandparents. Through God's grace, my mother was given a job at the local elementary school. She had been a teacher prior to her marriage. And this was quite a remarkable situation that job opened up. We were able to have a stable family life through the support of my grandparents, her parents. They were very involved in the Baptist church in Peace River. And that church became like the center of our family. We were there twice on Sundays in the week for children's programs, choir practices, everything you can imagine. And singing hymns in that church was a very big part of what we did, especially Sunday evenings when we all got to choose our favorites. Now, just to kind of conclude this story, my mother actually remarried later in life when she was in her late 50s. She married my father's brother, who had been widowed, one of the men who had done joint farming with our family. And they lived out their lives happily in Victoria. And us children, the four of us, went on to develop our own careers, go into do the things that we have been doing. And I went into teaching for 2 years in the early part of my teaching career. I taught at a large Chinese high school in Hong Kong. There we were encouraged to buy the hymn book that was used in that school for their chapel services. It's an English-Chinese hymn book. And I was just really happy to see that one of the hymns in that hymn book was also the same hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." So please join me in singing this hymn. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm reading from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1 at verse 16. And passing along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. It seems there is a tradition in my family that the Wigmore men will go on a long journey at some time in their lives. The coolest one was Grandfather Wigmore. He was a carpenter and lived in Victoria, but he dreamed of going to sea. He would go down to the harbor, gaze fondly at the deep sea freighters. And one day when he was 68 years old, he came home and announced to Grandmother Wigmore that he had signed as a deckhand on a Belgian freighter and was leaving tomorrow and be gone for 2 years. Grandmother Wigmore was not amused. Anyway, he went and came back 2 years later. When I was 1 year old, my much older brother Bob was just finishing high school in our little prairie town, and he joined the Royal Canadian Navy as the storm clouds were gathering for World War II. He came back from the war, but he never came back to Western Canada, at least to live. He stayed in the Navy as a career and lived the rest of his life in Nova Scotia. When I was 12, my father got the urge to go north to Yellowknife and Whitehorse and points north, and he never came back. When I retired, I took a solo 3-week camping trip going south and ending in Texas, and in the biblical tradition, I came back another way, but I did come back. I tell you about this because I have a strong sense that life is a journey, and I see the Christian life as a journey. This metaphor is powerful for me. I decided to be a follower of Jesus in my very late teens and early 20s as I grew up in a inner-city United Church on Skid Road in Edmonton, and I saw how the church ministered to the most marginalized and downtrodden members of society. My journey as a follower has had its ups and downs, its joys and its challenges, sometimes one step forward or two steps forward and one back. But it has been a great adventure, and I'm still learning how to be a better follower and a better person. The hymn I have chosen, "Jesus, You Have Come to the Lake Shore," reminds us of how Jesus called the disciples to be his first followers, to go with him on an incredible journey. Now, it's important to remember that while the journey was an incredible one, an extraordinary one, the people he called were very ordinary. They were people like you and me. In this case, they were fishermen, fisher persons, who are working on their boats. This image really connects with me because a good many of my journeys in the past 40 years have been on the water, in my various canoes, and more recently in my ocean kayak. And also, this hymn for me is an end-of-life metaphor. Now my boat's left on the shoreline behind me. At your side, I will seek other seas. So let's sing it.
I'm reading Psalm 63, verses 1 to 8. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. And my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Psalm 63 is full of longing for God, a longing that transcends intellectual belief, a longing rooted in the writer's very cells. I hear that same sense of longing in this ancient love. God as female, personified as love, is painted as present in the night, the dawn, the wounded hills, and the unfolding of the bird's first wing. She is so vast, her arms hold the sea. She is so intimate, she can cradle each child. She is so willing to sacrifice and so compassionate, she bleeds for the world. This is the God we thirst for. This is the kind of love we long to roll out into the world.